366.
Faith of our fathers. You know what? Today, I'm thankful for a church family that still believes the old paths and still sticks with the old truths of God's Word. And I'm thankful today to see a people that still love the Word of God and strive to make sure that even within us as a group of people, we strive to stay with the old stuff. Amen. We stay by the stuff. And I thank God for that, and I thank God for the song that those young men just sang. If you would, I'd like you to go ahead and turn your Bibles today to the book of Acts. Acts in chapter 8. And while you're turning there, we'd like to welcome our radio audience. This is Brother John Liebrook, pastor of the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church at Old Town. That's just inside of Greenup County, out of Carter County. You can get to us by taking Route 1 or Route 7. We have a sign on either end of Laurel Road, giving you directions to the meeting house of God's people here at Emmanuel, what is known as by us Old Town. That's what we have always remembered ourselves to be, and that's what we usually announce ourselves as the Emmanuel Baptist Church of Old Town. And so we're thankful that you've taken time today to tune in to WGOH, share a portion of God's Word. And today we're going to be bringing a message about the eunuch. And one of the great phrases that was mentioned in this scripture, I think you'll find intriguing. And I would ask each and every one of you today to really pay particular attention to the Word of God, praying that the Lord, I would ask all Christians to be praying that the Lord would use His Word to bring that portion of Scripture that brings about salvation to the understanding of an individual who is without today. You see, that's what must happen. I cannot do that. You cannot do it, but the Holy Spirit can. That's how salvation is brought about. The Holy Spirit touches the individual and causes them to have the interest or at least an acknowledgement of the gospel or the truth of salvation. And that's how people begin in their salvation experience. They must come to an understanding of God's Word, the understanding of what the truth is about salvation. It is the gospel, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, as we open up this scripture, the eunuch is riding along, and he is he's reading a portion of scripture. It's found in Isaiah chapter 53, as a matter of fact, is what they had during that time. And he was reading about what Jesus Christ was going to come and do. Now, this was the Messiah. They didn't necessarily know Him as Jesus Christ, of course, but they did know that there was a Messiah promised, and He was coming to take away the sins of the world. And the Bible says here of this eunuch that as he was riding along, he was reading the prophet Isaiah, and as a matter of fact, in chapter 53, where the Bible speaks about the death of the Messiah. The Bible reads in verse 26 of Acts chapter 8, "And the angel of the Lord said unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all of her treasury, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. I want you to consider those words for just a moment. This is a direct direct statement about what happened to Jesus Christ. And in verse 34, the Bible says, "And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man?" Man, the door was wide open there, wasn't it? The door was opened, and the Spirit began to use that open door to cause that individual to have a desire for the things of salvation. There was a direct correlation with the Holy Spirit opening that door and Philip beginning to bring about the gospel message right where this eunuch was reading from. And the Bible says in verse 35, "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." That's what we do here today. As a matter of fact, I don't know hardly ever a time that I've stood behind this pulpit from which the gospel message somehow did not come forth. The gospel message, as Brother Jim brought out this morning, according to the Apostle Paul in Romans 1:16, is the power of God unto salvation to those who believe. Now, as I stop for just a moment and grab a hold of your attention, I want you to understand that it is of necessity that one believe the Scriptures. It is of a necessity that one comes to an understanding that the Scriptures, the Holy Word of God itself, must be believed in order for salvation to come to the heart of an individual. The Bible says again in verse 35, "Then Philip opened his mouth, and he began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Now I want you to stop and think about that question. Isn't it a marvelous thing to see a sinner that has come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there is an expectation of something more? It is that of the baptism and the act of baptism. And here Philip began to bring another discourse to him and said unto him, "If thou believest with all thine heart," what did he say? "Thou shalt." Listen, I want you to know something today. You know, I've heard individuals come and ask about salvation. I've seen individuals ponder the thought of the gospel message and salvation. And I've seen individuals walk away from this house and with the question of what if I should believe and be saved? What if I should come to know and understand what the Bible's saying and believe with all of my heart? Folks, I want you to know something. When that happens in an individual, salvation comes. Salvation comes to that individual who truly believes on the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart. You say, "Well, what do you mean, believe with all of my heart?" You see these little children walking around in this sanctuary. These little children, they have a lot of trust in their moms and dads and their grandpas and grandmas. And listen, they believe everything that they say, and they trust every act that they do. You know, that's what it means to come to Jesus with a childlike faith. It means believing on the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart and with all of your mind. Now, this eunuch, as he came to this water hole, he said, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" You know, the only thing that would really hinder you from being baptized is unbelief. I ask you today, do you believe the Scriptures? Do you as an individual today believe what thus saith the Lord, how that Jesus Christ came, as Isaiah 53 says, he was led to the slaughter, in other words, and he was absolutely tortured on behalf of you and I. Do you believe today the Scripture? Do you believe that salvation may be had today by you as an individual that's in this house from without? I say today, do you not understand? Understandest thou that today is a day of salvation? Amen. We're not promised tomorrow. The Bible says today is a day of salvation. Today is the day. My friend, today could be very well the very last day of our lives. Who knows what lies outside the doors of this house? Who knows what breath will come next, if it does come next? Who knows how long this whole heart will beat and continue to pump blood? Nobody knows those answers. So today, while you live, while you hear, while you have understanding in your mind and in your heart, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ today. That's the message that I believe Philip gave to the eunuch on that way today, on that way, as he was in that chariot. I believe as he began to preach the glorious gospel out of the book of Isaiah, the word of God was opened up unto this eunuch. He came to an understanding. He came to a place where he understood what the Bible was saying. Because he said to Philip, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Notice again what Philip said. Let's read this together. And the Bible says in verse 37, "And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart," lost individual here today, let me ask you one more time. Do you believe with all of your heart? Now, I'll probably ask that again. I often say things and get myself in trouble, but I'll definitely say that again. Do you believe? Do you understand what the Bible's saying here? That's the critical question you must have answered today. And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. My friend, there's where you have to come to today. There's where you as an individual have to come to grips with what terms of the Bible says. You know, there may be in this house today people with questions. People with maybe misinformed statements or background. Let me tell you today what the simple Word of God says. God's Word says, thou must believe. Believe in what? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for you. You see, that's when it makes all the difference in the world. It's not that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for all the people of the world, but that He died for me as an individual. That's when it changes the heart of each and every one that's ever been saved by the grace of God in this house today. It's when we believe that He died for us on the cross of Calvary. When He specifically died for John Lybrook as I was even 2,000 years later to be born. The Bible says that He died for me on the cross of Calvary. And that, my friend, is what you and I must believe in order to be saved by the grace of God. Our most gracious and divine Heavenly Father, dear God, as we humbly come before Your throne today, we do thank You for the privilege, the honor, dear Heavenly Father, to come into Thy presence. We know and understand, O God, that the only reason we can come today is because of what Your Son, Jesus Christ, done for us on the cross of Calvary. Lord, I pray today that not only do we realize and recognize the fact of our salvation, but also, Father, the free access into Thy presence. Lord, I pray that today might be the day that You come into the life of some lost individual in this house. Lord, that You would cause individuals to come to understand the glorious truth of the gospel. How that You came and how that You died on the cross for our sins. You was buried and rose again the third day. that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Lord, I pray today, help those today who oppose themselves to realize that there's more to life than what they're living now. Lord, I pray that you'll move upon their hearts even now and move upon their minds, dear God, to have a longing for this great, wonderful salvation that we rejoice in today. Lord, I pray that today might be the day that you saved lost souls in this house. Lord, that we might see and hear of lost souls being saved out in Radio Land. Lord, I pray that you would empower your word today. Lord, that it may touch the hearts of individuals by the work of the Holy Spirit. Father, I've already asked that your Holy Spirit be in this place. And Lord, I know that where two or three are gathered in your name, that you're in the midst. So, Father, I pray that you would walk up and down these aisles. You would move in and out of these pews, Lord, and you would touch the heart of every lost individual here. Lord, that we might see all saved by your grace. Father, I pray for the child of God that's in this place. Lord, that you would touch our hearts and minds and let us go back to a time when we also rejoiced in the great salvation that you imparted unto us that day. May it come again unto us, Lord, as far as our joy. May you restore the joy of those who have wandered away. Lord, I pray that you'll bless this service. Let us have a great day, Lord. Forgive us our sin in Jesus Christ's name. And amen. Emmanuel, to our visiting friends and our radio audience, the question brought forth by Philip to this Ethiopian eunuch here in our text was, understandest thou what thou readest? And it's something that I could ask everyone in this house tonight or today. Do you understand what I've read thus far? Do you understand what your eyes have beheld within your lap? The very Word of God and the very escape of hell and the very wonder of salvation that is held in your lap today. Do you understand that this is the greatest day or could be the greatest day you've ever had? The question is the question that I wish to ask all here today. Do you know the importance of that which you hear in this sanctuary today? As it concerns the glorious gospel message as such this Ethiopian eunuch was reading about. This message today is exactly about what the eunuch read of in his day and time. It is the message of hope and eternal life. But I wish you to know of it more than just a casual glance. I want you to know of it more than just an unusual saying, so to speak. I want you as an individual today to know the Word of God intimately. I want you as an individual, maybe here today and do not know the Lord your Savior. I want you to come to know Him intimately today through His Scripture. You see, that's when things happen and that's when things change in your life. I wish you to know it intimately. Not just in passing or a fleeting thought, but a life-changing understanding of the Word of God. So first of all, today, I ask the question, as Philip asked this eunuch, Philip asked him, understandest what thou readest? I could ask the same question today. Understandest thou that Jesus Christ is come? You know what? That's what Isaiah 53 was looking toward. It was looking toward the Messiah who was going to come in a day yet ahead of this time of Isaiah. But Isaiah knew about it. He read about it. He knew that there was coming a time when Jesus Christ, the Messiah, which is what they knew Him as, the Messiah was going to come and He was going to do a miraculous work among them. And the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53, if you would like to go back there for just a moment, that I believe it's important that we get a hold of this and break this down this way. In Isaiah chapter 53, the Bible lets us know that Jesus Christ did come. He says, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness when we shall see him. There is no beauty that we should desire him." Now I want you to stop for just a moment. Now I want you to get a hold of the fact that Jesus Christ did come. Do you not understand that which was just celebrated, the whole fall, more or less anymore, it seems like, with the commercialism and everything of Christmas. But do you not understand that that's when we were celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ coming into this world as a babe? Born in a manger, this is what was celebrated all over the world, was the birth of a Savior. The birth of the Messiah. The Messiah had come. As a matter of fact, Simeon, this great man of God, as he held the babe in his arms, he said unto the Lord in heaven, he said, "Now lettest thy servant depart, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." He had seen the very Son of God who was come to give his life a ransom for all who would come unto him. For all who would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ had come and had died on the cross for their sins. Listen, that's when salvation is made real to an individual. Now listen, don't make this hard. Don't make this something that is skeptical in your mind. Listen to what the Word of God says and believe what the Bible says. The Bible says, if thou believest, thou shalt be. Amen. If thou believe what? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. How that Jesus Christ was born in that manger. He was reared up for 30 some odd years. And there he died on the cross of Calvary. He was buried and rose again the third day, that you as an individual might be saved. That you might have life and have it more abundantly. That you as an individual could come out of death and unto life, out of the prison bars of Satan to the freedom of Jesus Christ. That's what I believe Philip was saying here. Understand this. Jesus Christ had to come from heaven because no one on earth was able to do what Jesus Christ did. Amen. No one on earth was able to do everything that the law requires. And you know what? Man today still cannot do what the law requires. Man still has a problem with the law of God. Man still has the old nature of sin in his heart. And he needs to have it replaced by the new nature, the new man. But listen, as long as the old man is there, we will always fail. And the Bible says we were born in sin. Folks, today we need to understand and come to grips with the terms that we are born as sinners. And therefore, every one of us need to be saved. We need to repent of our sins, and that means to be sorry for sin and turn from sin and turn to the Lord, trusting Him, believing that He died on the cross of Calvary for your sins individually. That's when salvation comes. You see in 2 Corinthians, if you go there for just a moment in chapter 5, 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, I want you to notice something with me here. Verse 21, the Bible speaks about this Savior, this Messiah, this Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, "For He made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin."
Listen, that's the reason why Jesus Christ had to come from heaven to take our place, because we only know sin. We're born in sin. Our natures are covered with sin. And that's the reason why we have such a problem doing the things that God wants us to do. We were born in unrighteousness. The psalmist David said, "In sin did my mother conceive me." Listen, that means that even the very substance of the body was born and made with sin in it, and we're tainted because of it. Therefore, we all need salvation. Now, this eunuch was riding along, and he had went where? He had been to worship. He had been to worship, just like oh, well, it sounds like Lydia, don't it? Lydia was a woman who was at the riverside as she was washing her clothing, and the Bible says they were worshiping God. But you know what happened to her? That's much like what happens in the house of God today. People come into the house of God to worship God and later find out that that's where they met God for the first time, when the glorious gospel message came forth into their hearts and they realized for the first time that they were truly in need and they needed that salvation. That's what is going on with Lydia. Not only did Lydia believe, but listen, this eunuch believed also. And the Bible says, listen, that's when the transformation took place. That's when everything changed in that individual's heart and life. He believed the Scriptures. And then he was obedient to them and followed the Lord in scriptural baptism. Now, my friend, I believe it's very important to understand that baptism does not add to your salvation. It does not give you salvation. It cannot impart unto you salvation. But it is a means by which we look to the world and say, I've trusted the Lord as my Savior, and I'm died with Him, being buried in baptism, and raised again, being justified by God. Listen, showing that pure life that we will live. Listen, I want you to know today, even as saved individuals in this house, there's nobody in this house perfect. I don't know not one perfect, living, solid human being in this world, or ever has been, except for Jesus. Jesus was the perfect Son of God. The Bible says here in 2 Corinthians that He knew no sin. That's the reason He came, because all we have is sin in us. Jesus Christ knew no sin. Therefore, He had to take our place on Calvary. He had to die in our place and in our stead, that we may be saved by the grace of God. He had to take our place. Notice what it says in Hebrews 9:28. Again, notice some of these scriptures and understand what the Bible's saying. Understandest thou this, my friend? It's important that you grasp a hold of this. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews in 9 and verse 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. You know who that could be today? That could be you. You could be one of those that are named there as many. Listen, today that Jesus Christ bore my sins. I know that He bore my sins. He took my sins and all of my transgressions and all of my trespasses, and He placed them upon His own shoulder, and He hung on the cross of Calvary, dying in my place and in my stead. He shed precious blood that my sins may be covered. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Understandest thou that the perfect sacrifice has come? The Bible talks about that perfect sacrifice in Luke chapter 2 in the birth of Jesus Christ. Brother Jim read it even this morning. Read about the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ, how that He came, and how that He lived, and how that He died, that you and I might have eternal life forevermore. Eternal life. Let's look at this again. I know you're familiar with it. I imagine we've all heard quite a few not only sermons on it, but our thoughts have been around it. And I know devotion times around our homes, that's what it is with our home. And wherever we go, when we're having a Christmas gathering, you know what? I like to talk about the birth of Jesus. Amen. What it's really about. As we gather around as a family, as I gather around down to my mom's home or in our home, wherever it is we're gathering as a family, I like to talk about what the season's all about. Everybody's going and celebrating everything in the world. They've got the perfect gift. Folks, I want to tell you the perfect gift. It's Jesus Christ. God gave Him as a gift to you. God gave Him as the most miraculous gift that anyone could ever have in this house. You'll never receive a gift quite like this. The Bible says here in the book of Luke, in chapter 2 and verse 25, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people." You know who that is? That A-double-L there? That wasn't just to the Jew. That was to you. To all people, to all nations, to all tongues and tribes, and to all mankind, this Savior's come to you today. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of His people Israel. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Now secondly, understandest thou that Jesus Christ has come to suffer in our stead? The Bible talked about the fact that He came. But why did He come? He came to take your place at Calvary. He came to suffer in your place and in your stead. Everything that Jesus Christ took upon His shoulders, you and I deserved every bit of it. Think about it. Think about what happened at Calvary. Think about what happened when there in Matthew chapter 27, I think you begin at verse 27, where they began to they led Him away to crucify Him after the trials, after the beatings, and after the scourging, at the trial. He suffered for you and I there. But listen to what He did. Those men took that crown of thorns and placed it down over His brow. He suffered for you. He suffered for me. He took agonizing pain beyond measure. And as He stood there, having a reed in His right hand, they took that stick and they began to drive that crown of thorns down over His head. He suffered, my friend. Understandest thou this? He suffered for you. He suffered for me. As they took that crown of thorns and they drove it down over His head. Listen, the Bible says that as He stood there, after being whipped and beaten beyond recognition, He took upon Himself that form that He was able to die. The Bible says that as He came, He came to bear our burdens. The burden of anguish. The burden of suffering. Isaiah said He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. Listen, I want you to know that's exactly what Jesus Christ done for us on the cross of Calvary. I don't believe that they drug Him there either. I believe according to God's Word that He walked to Calvary. They wasn't drugged to Calvary. And I believe according to God's Word that this Savior, Jesus Christ, He willingly laid down His life. In other words, He stretched out His arms on the cross of Calvary and allowed them to nail His hands to the cross. And then he crossed his feet as they nailed his feet to the cross. Think about it. All the pain and anguish that he bore that you and I should have been bearing and that you and I deserve to bear today. But God. Hey, I love those two words, but God. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Friend, that's to you today that are in this house and to all those out in radio land. Listen, Christ came to suffer and die in our place and in our stead. Oh, what a Savior. Understandest thou what has been said today? He died in your place. He died to take your punishment. He willingly laid down his life for your life. You can read of that in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 down through verse 12, and you'll see every bit of what Jesus Christ did. In Matthew chapter 27, you see all the anguish of Jesus Christ as he was beaten and brutally assaulted. He came to take your punishment. Now, I'm just talking physical punishment right now. But do you not understand that there was a spiritual punishment that we deserve? It's called eternal death. It's called eternal death for a reason, because it is in the place of death. It is known as hell. Jesus Christ came and he suffered all of our equivalents of the hell that we deserve. My friend, I want you to know he suffered a great deal for you and I. He suffered amazingly for you and I. As a matter of fact, the Bible, the historians tell you that the lashes that he took, the beating that he took, the crowning of the thorns and the nailing of the cross. Listen, the historians say he should never even made it to the cross. But you know what? From Pilate's hall, he began to bleed. He began to pour out his blood. He began to pour out his life. For me. For you, if you believe. From Pilate's hall, all the way through the streets of Jerusalem, all the way up to the place of the skull called Golgotha. Jesus Christ was pouring out his blood for you and I. He was suffering a great deal. At the first, they began to have him carry his cross, and he was so weak where he had been beaten so severely that he fell under the weight of the cross. And listen, that's when they compelled Simon to come and bear the cross. And oh, I tell you, can you just imagine the thought of that man as he bore the cross of another? But think about what Jesus Christ done. Not only did he bear the cross, but the cross bore him. And there at Calvary, he died in our place and in our stead. Listen, I want you to know that's important for you to understand. You need to know without a shadow of a doubt, just like this eunuch did. Listen, as he read about Jesus Christ dying on the cross of Calvary, he realized, he understood. Jesus, or with him, the Messiah, had suffered for him. He said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You know what that meant? You know what that meant to Philip? Listen, Philip understood him to say, I believe and I'm trusting Jesus as my Savior and as my God and as my King. Listen, I want you to know today, you've got to come to this point in life. Think about it. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Do you not understand, dear sinner friend, that he suffered because of our own sin? Every sin that we have committed, he suffered for, and because of our sin, he felt the wrath of the holy God of heaven upon his shoulders. Wrath that we rightly deserve. when upon the cross of Calvary, when all the darkness came across the land, he cried out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" His own father forsook him because of my sins. His own father turned his back upon him because of my failures and transgressions. But not only mine, everyone in this house who's saved by the grace of God, and those who will yet be saved, he took upon his shoulders all of our sins. And God, the holy God of heaven, turned his back on his only Son, the holy God who cannot even look upon sin. Yes, our Savior suffered. Understand all that? Not only did he suffer physically, but he suffered emotionally when the people began to leave him as he hung on the cross of Calvary, nearly completely alone. Many of his disciples had fled into the countryside, and watching from the surrounding hills around, they left him. All but his mother, the other Mary, and John. But as hard as that was, emotionally, it was not nearly as hard as his father turning his back upon him. Listen, he done all that for you and me. He done all that. Listen, understand this. He done that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Yes, he received the wrath that we rightly deserved. You know, that word wounded in the Hebrew is actually translated into a word that means tormented. He was tormented. That word wounded does not add all the pain that it should rightly deserve. The Hebrew word says he was tormented. Tormented for you and I. Listen, he suffered so greatly. Oh, the suffering substitute of our life. Suffering for the guilty. The innocent taking on the pain and suffering. The torment that we deserved, and rightfully so. Oh, understandest thou, sinner friend? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. All the pain that he endured, which we deserved. I cannot continue on, for time's sake, to talk about the pain of the Savior. I believe I can't even begin to touch the anguish and the heartache that he went through for you and I. But let it be understood, he suffered so greatly for you and I. We walk around this life. We walk around this life with mercy upon our shoulders because he does not snuff us out right now. It's mercy that we are here tonight or today in this house of God. It's mercy that we are able to hear the glorious gospel, the way of truth, the way of escape, the way of life. It is a merciful God that allows us to hear this. It's mercy. It's mercy. It's God's mercy upon us today. Listen, I want you to consider something with me. I want you to know that Jesus Christ, and I want you to understand this, that he came, he suffered. Understandest thou, dear friend, that we can now receive forgiveness of sin. Because of him coming and suffering in our place, we now can stand without any condemnation. In Acts chapter 8, verses 30 through 38, you see the glorious truth. In Acts chapter 5, the Bible says, or Romans chapter 5, excuse me, let me turn over there real quick before I move on, get ready to come to a close. In Romans in chapter 5, Because He came, because He died and suffered on the cross for our sins. The Bible says in Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is because of what Jesus Christ done on Calvary that we can have peace and stand before Him justified, just as though we'd never sinned. That's what that justified really breaks down to. God looks at us as though we'd never sinned. You know why? Because He sees the blood of His Son applied on our behalf. Forgiveness provides no more condemnation. Romans in chapter 8, if you will. The Bible says here in verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now stop there for just a moment in that phrase. For them which are in Christ Jesus, for them who believe with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind that Jesus Christ is come, that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is the very Son of God. That's what the eunuch believed. And therefore the eunuch was saved. My friend, is that you today? Understandest thou this? What does it mean? You know, I can go back to Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. Where the Bible says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. That reasoning means to come to an understanding, to understand that though your sins were as scarlet, they should be white as snow. Amen. I tell you, I'm thankful today for God's amazing grace, ain't you? I'm thankful today for God's full forgiveness of all of my sin. No condemnation. Relieved from the penalty of sin, which the Bible says is death. Death has passed upon all of us when we're born into this life. We begin to die. I'm not just talking physical death. I'm talking about the spiritual death. That which all of us face one day. Hebrews chapter 9 tells us, does it not, that there's coming a day when we all shall pass from this life. The question will be, will you be ready? Will you have come to understand what the Bible says, what the gospel is? It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know who it's offered to? All who will hear and believe. All who will come unto Him. He says, I will in no wise cast out. You see, Jesus Christ came and suffered death that we might not have to. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, For the wages of sin is death. That's what you deserve, and that's what I deserve, is death. Eternal death. The payment we deserve. Understand thou, the pardon has been announced on behalf of all who will believe the Scriptures. The pardon which grants unto us eternal life. The Scriptures that the little children learn in these rooms right here. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know what? That's not just some kind of little riddle. That's real stuff, and that's stuff that brings salvation. Listen, today's the day of salvation. Do you understand that right now is the accepted time? You know why? Because you're still on this side of death. You still have life within you. You're still breathing. The very moment that your eyes close in death and that last breath leaves your body, it's all over. You'll never, ever have the opportunity of salvation again. The rich man even now has lifted up his eyes, been in torment, the Bible says. And he has called for Father Abraham to send people to this earth that his brothers may be warned not to come to that awful place. He does not have an opportunity anymore. But you do. You're still living. You're still on this side of eternity. You still have breath within your lungs right now. You still have a voice to mutter and to utter, Lord, forgive me for I've sinned. You know what? Salvation. It's offered to all who will come unto Him right now. Understandest thou what thou readest? Have you understood what I've said today from behind this pulpit? How that Jesus Christ came and died in your place so that you might have life and have it more abundantly? Have you understood that without Jesus Christ, we would all suffer the consequence? But Jesus came. Understandest thou what thou hast read and heard today? Let's all stand, please. I could ask the question today, will you believe? My prayer is today that you will believe. Listen, it's right now. The word is nigh thee, says Romans 10:8. Even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word that we preach, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. The word is nigh thee. Would you not today trust in Him? Would you not repent of your sins and put Jesus Christ in your life? May God help you is our prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we bow before Your throne again today, I do pray that You would give the lost around us an understanding of the gospel. Lord, that they may come to realize that they stand in great need. And Lord, that they may, as this old eunuch did, believe the Scriptures. Trust and obey. Oh, dear God, today I pray that You will show them the way. Lead them unto Thyself, Lord. We know that no man can come except You draw him. Father, today I'm asking that You would draw the lost sinners unto Thee. Draw them by Thy power, O God. May Your Holy Spirit even now be working to quicken those dead souls. Father, that they may come to a term of understanding. Lord, I pray, save in our midst today. Bless Your children. Let us rejoice in our salvation. We thank You, dear God, and we praise You. May Your name have been lifted up in this house today. Forgive us our sin again, I ask, in Jesus Christ's name, and amen. Have our song leader and our pianist to come.
Let's go to 385.